Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Elise Donovan. She's a reality star of Bad Girls Club Las Vegas, and she's an entrepreneur in her own right. We're going to talk with her for over the next 20 minutes or so. If you have any questions, please go ahead and post it in the chat room, or you can call at 347-324-3460. Elise, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself. Our audience like to get a personal view, a personal story on where you're from and how you came to be. So if you don't mind sharing us a moment about yourself.
Okay, sure, no problem. Well, I'm originally from Kingston, Jamaica, but I was raised here in Miami. And growing up in Miami, I always had a thing for fashion. I mean, I think the most beautiful place right now in the United States. You know, we have all the sunshine and everything. So from the time I was young, you know, I knew what I wanted to be. And, you know, as I got older, I just really pursued that. You know, I started with fashion styling. And, you know, I wanted to start my own image consulting company. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I always wanted to just start a line and be in stores and just make everyone as fashionable with wearing my own brand as I can possibly do that. So that's where my fashion line came into part. And that's pretty much it, long story short, with me. And then, you know, for the Bad Girls Club, how that came out, I just decided, you know, maybe I should do this. It would be an opportunity for me because, I mean, if you put yourself in demand, you'll create opportunities for yourself. And that's exactly what I did here with my line.
Wow. When you're talking about you always wanted to do fashion, and when you were in high school or middle school, did you take, like, homemaking courses or sewing courses that will kind of gravitate you there to kind of help you with your discernment of being a fashion designer?
Not at all. This is just something, like, I feel like I was born to do. Like, I didn't take any classes. Like, growing up, it just started in, started from a young age. Like, I would cut up my clothes and make Barbie clothes. Or, you know, during school, I would always Yeah, like, I'd always win, like, contests for, like, the best artists, and I was always very talented and creative with even drawing. So that's how it started.
So how your inspiration came to you just naturally, your designs in your mind, how do they come to you? They come to, like, in the middle of the night, or they just come at random? You see something in your mind, and you – and you have all this inspiration around you, and you try to put it on paper?
Yes. Pretty much it just comes to me randomly. Like, I'll just be, like, in class or in the car driving. I'll just think about something, and I'll just, like, immediately, like, I walk around with, like, a sketchbook, and I'll just sketch it out right immediately and say, okay, I'm going to go back and really put a little bit more effort into this later, but I'll just quickly sketch it out. So I'll just, you know, remember it in my mind because, I mean, it could just be anything. I could just be driving to see something. I'll just be like, okay, let me jot it down and save it for later.
Well, when you do your styles, or is it somebody you kind of gear towards, or a period that you gear towards? Is it a romantic period? Or I'm not a fashion person, so is it like, you know, the 20s or the 40s or the 60s? Or
is it
just a combination?
Most of the time, it's just, like, trendy stuff that's, like, out now. Like, you know, I'll do a lot of trend forecasts, and I'll see stuff that's, like, coming out again. And then I'll try to revamp that in some type of way with my own touch.
Wow. When you decided to do this fashion line, I mean, it's brand new. How did you get started with it?
Pretty much when I got off the Bad Girls Club, I was like, you know what, this is my time right now. I need to really push it. Instead of just talking about it, I just need to be about it. So that's when I really went hard. Like, I went to Italy when I came back, and I got a lot of inspiration over there. I went to source some materials while I was over there. It was a good time for me because, you know, I met a lot of people in the fashion industry. And then when I came back, I just put that to use and started the line. And I know I wanted it out before the show was done. I mean, that didn't really work out the way I wanted to because it was a long process. But, I mean, the second time around, it's definitely going to be a lot easier. But this time took a little bit longer.
Well, so going to Italy, what was it like? And, you know, trying to get in with some of the top fashion people in the world, designers, studios, I mean, fabrics. Kind of tell us what that experience is like.
I mean, the experience pretty much over there was pretty much the same here. It was just about who you know. People over there, they're really into their fashion. It's easy to, like, you know, network over there. So, I mean, it was just pretty much me going there, knowing where to go, and knowing where to find these people.
Did you have a consultant that kind of helped guide you through the fashion world there, how to speak the language and the culture, or you just went in rocking and rolling?
I just pretty much went in rocking and rolling, did my research before I went in, and that was really it. And now I have a swimmer line.
Wow. Did they give you any inspiration or some advice to say, hey, here's a better way to do something so you won't do what I did? Try this particular thing. And what kind of type of advice did they offer you?
They've given me tons of advice, like even the smallest things, like, okay, don't put your money into it, get loans, or don't use this manufacturer, don't use this person. But I'm the type of person, I'm a really stubborn person. So for someone to tell me something, I'm not going to listen to it, which is weird. It's like I have to, like, go through it and see it for myself, which is really bad because if I would have, like, did things differently, it wouldn't have been so costly this time around. It would have saved a lot of money, but it was a costly learning experience. But, you know, I have to learn that way. It's trial and error. That's how I learn.
You think it makes a better learner having trial and error than versus say, hey, let's look at two schools of thought. I mean, look at, hey, not repeating this, what I've done, but actually do this instead. I want to do my own thing, and I want to learn as I go. And from then, I can be a better manager, a better business owner, a better entrepreneur, because I know what not to do, things that clearly my mind has said is not going to work.
I think it's a little bit of a mix of both, because I feel like when you go through it, you understand it more rather than, you know, someone just telling you, and then you're, like, sitting there wondering, kind of coulda, shoulda, woulda, you know? So I think it's really a mix of both. You have to go through to really learn about anything.
Has your Jamaican past from your family, have that actually inspired the way you actually do your designs?
Yeah, that and also, like, just being around the world, well, not really the world. I've been around, you know, to Europe and stuff, but not everywhere I would like to be. But just traveling a lot in the United States as a whole, you know, that played a part because you see different people, you see how they dress, because every city, you know, it's like you could tell, like, sometimes with me, oh, this person's from New York or this person's from L.A. So just putting everyone's style together, especially, but, you know, the line really wasn't inspired by, like, my heritage. It was really inspired more, like, from people from Brazil because, you know, I have a lot of Brazilian cuts and those people are, like, you know, dressed really sexy. It's really not like that in Jamaica. I mean, it is, but it's not like Brazil.
What things do you see around just in the States alone that differs from region to region? Hey, the New York style is different from Chicago. Chicago is different from L.A., L.A. is different from Texas. Texas is different from Atlanta. Atlanta is different from Miami. Do you see those different styles throughout the country that way?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I feel like here in Miami, we have, like, a really nice style, not just saying that because I was raised here, because I'll go to other places like New York and people will be like, oh, I know you're not from here just by the way you dress. It's, like, a little different. Like, everybody's different. Like in New York, they might wear more layers with everything. And in Miami, because it's so hot, we're just like a T-shirt and a nice pair of jeans and some heels. So it just varies. But, you know, as long as wherever you go, you dress nice, that's all that matters, right?
You know, if we take the movie The Devil Wears Prada, and you have all these fashion things, and they go through a course, I think in one scene, they talk about different fashion from today and from yesterday and how they incorporate things. Was that kind of a realistic moment by seeing, I don't know if you've seen the movie, The Devil Wears Prada, but they actually go through explaining how, in one of those scenes, why they actually use this instead of that. Maybe use this belt accessory with this particular outfit than that. Did you see the same thing in that course? I think when you sit down with some of those designers, kind of explaining to you why they would mix things this way?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I could see why they would do things a certain way because, you know, everyone does things differently. Everyone uses different routes. But, you know, that's why I would go to them and, like, pretty much compare notes and see what worked for them and really what didn't in a way. And just,
see what they did differently
for me.
Okay. Anything you recall that they've said to you, hey, this is why I do it. This is my own way. Necessarily maybe not the right way, but it works for me. Anything that really stands out or stood out from the past that you can recall that they mentioned that to you?
Yes, definitely. Just be more hands-on, like just be full effect because a lot of people, especially when they have like some type of backing, they get people and a lot of people just get into their ears, like do this, do that. And they're just pretty much giving someone else money to do it. But they're pretty much like, don't do that. Make sure you're involved. You know, it's nice to have people to help you out and to give you advice or to be, you know, behind you. But just pretty much make sure you're hands-on so you know what's going on at all times. And people aren't just trying to, like, you know, jip you for your money or just try to get under you.
Do you see a lot of people kind of taking advantage of people in the fashion industry or just some women in general, hey, I think I can get over her
I will take
advantage.
Say that again?
No, that's, you're going to expand on that.
Oh, say that last part about the people taking advantage.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you see anybody that's really, hey, taking advantage of women designers more than they would take advantage of men designers because they think they're maybe weaker or in that sense, hey, I'm just going to see if I can roll over her and then you have to prove them wrong.
Definitely not. I just feel like they'll take advantage of you, man or woman, because I know I was taken advantage of and this was by a woman. So it's like, you know, they just feel like at the end of the day, if you're a new designer coming in and people feel that you don't know what you're doing or you have no idea about the industry, they're going to take advantage of you, man or woman. That's just how I feel.
Wow, this is a harder business. Any advice that you would give a person who's going through this particular system as a designer, what they really need to do in order to get educated to bring the design to purpose?
Just pretty much think of steps. I would pretty much say this. Think of steps that can get you where you need to be and how you need to do these things instead of just, like, doing a million things. Like, I feel like if I would have just made sure I had a said person to, let's just say, help me with the samples, then a said person who's just going to be the manufacturer, and just everything step by step, just, like, plan it out, and it'll just be easier because once you have it written down in paper, it's just easier to do rather than just like, okay, what else is next, and just not have it carefully thought out. That's just how I feel.
Wow. So, you must have a business plan so you can kind of put that recipe together, how you're going to do step by step.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Get things done.
Definitely. I can't wait to start my collection.
So when you actually manufacture your bikini wear, do you just do it in your own lab and you syndicate to some other manufacturers to duplicate it and ship it to you?
pretty much that's how it works right now. But for the next collection, I'll probably just, you know, sketch some stuff out and just make it easy and just have them make it, make the samples. And if I like it, I'll approve it. And from what I drew, and just do it from there. But that's pretty much how it works. You just get the samples, bring to the manufacturer. And a lot of times, you know, it just has to be done right. Because if I make it, sometimes people will make a sample, it won't be manufacturer ready. And that's when they have to go in and make the same replica of the one that you made and make it manufacturer ready. Because, you know, you don't want to have problems. Like, I had a problem with the piece that I made. They're like, you know, we can't manufacture this because, you know, customers are going to be complaining because thread's not right here, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's all about manufacturer quality.
Wow. And you do this in the States, or you kind of import it from other countries?
Oh, where am I manufactured?
Mm-hmm.
You said?
I mean, your swimsuit line. You manufacture it here? Or?
Yes, in New York. Yeah, I wanted to keep, you know, the jobs here in America. I wanted to outsource, but I feel like when I'm, you know, more into, like, more retail stores, I'll probably do that because it's for mass quantities. But right now, I just want to see how it's going to go. So my qualities are a lot smaller than 5,000 pieces. So, and I probably don't even want to do that. I feel like, you know, I just want to keep it small, a little exclusive, and not just be everywhere right now. But who knows, maybe later on the line, I will make a line that will just can be everywhere.
Okay. So your long-term goal is to try to get into specialty shops or department stores?
Yes. Because right now I'm in one boutique here in Miami called, I believe it's AGS Miami. That's my first
mm-hmm.
boutique. And, you know, so far so good. I mean, we haven't even got our whole thing in, and stores are reaching out to carry us. So I'm really happy, and I've gotten a lot of inquiries from celebrities, like, wanting my stuff. So I'm really excited, and I can't wait to see everybody in it. But long-term goals, I just want people to know my brand and know quality. Like, I want to have a line of shoes. I want to have high-end watches. I want to have for women. And I also want to have a line of dresses. So I just really want to keep this going and just make, you know, I'm trying to be a millionaire by 30, so we'll see.
We're going to pray that you get there. Question real quick. What is it like seeing your design on somebody? You know, you walk on the beach or you're in the store and they just in love with this particular outfit. What it feels like? It's something you designed.
It's an amazing
that
feeling. Like, to this day, like, sometimes I have to pinch myself. I can't believe it's happening. Like, every time I do a fashion show or I see an article about my line in a magazine, like, I just can't believe it. Like, it's so unreal because it's like, you know, I just never, I mean, I believed I could do it, but I mean, to actually just be here and see the pieces and see a hang tag and a label with your name on it, it's totally different. It's like, you know, it's real.
And just to see it on someone wearing it, it just brings
exactly.
more creativity to you. Say, oh, I have another idea. I see that on her. And I think I have another idea what else I can do with it. So it brings more inspiration for you to go ahead and design something else a different way.
Exactly.
Because
my swimsuit wear, it looks good on everybody, but it also looks different on everybody. So.
Mm-hmm. And one other, last question real quick before we actually go to break real quick. Anything for plus-size women or full-figure women that you plan to design for?
I'm
not sure.
Definitely a line for that because I do have a younger sister who is plus-size. Right now, because I was just starting and it was kind of a rush, that's
mm-hmm.
a little bit harder to do. But right now we have small, medium, and large, unfortunately. But I do have something coming for the bigger women soon.
Okay. And also, do you have a website for your line?
Yes. You can check out my stuff at www.elisedonovan.com.
Okay. We want to take a break real quick, take a commercial
break
for our sponsor, and we'll be back.
Sorry. www.elisedonovan.com.
Okay.
elisedonovan.com.
Okay. So just say it one more time.
www.elisedonovan.com.
Okay, perfect. We'll take a break real quick, and we'll be back, and we'll kind of highlight a few things on acting and the Bad Girls Club. Las Vegas for a minute, and we'll be back in one moment. Again, it's Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. Our special guest is Elise Donovan.
You're listening to the Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquet.
Again, this is Tim Jacquet with The Core Business Show. I'm back with Elise Donovan. I want to talk about the Bad Girls Club. How did you get on the show?
Oh, wow. I got on the show pretty much. It reached out to me. Like, I got a phone call one day and someone asked me if I ever wanted to be in the Bad Girls Club. And I was first very hesitant because I knew what the show was about. I didn't really think. I knew I wanted to be on reality TV, but I didn't know if that was a show for me. But, pretty much they were like, fill out this paperwork. And then as soon as you know it, they called me on Skype. I was in L.A. Then they called me and said, you know, you're not going to be an original cast member, but we want to keep you on a standby because we just loved you that much. And a week later, I heard from them because the girl before me only lasted 6 days. And then I was in a Bad Girls Clubhouse.
Wow. So I remember seeing this, the Bad Girls Club on a flight from Houston to New York a couple of years ago. And my wife had it downloaded on on the computer. And I guess when I backed it up from iTunes, it came on there and I took a look at it. I said, oh my gosh, they're kind of rough. When you walk in there, you got to get ready to fight. What was it like? You already knew about this particular show, and you knew that, hey, I'm going to walk in there, and I'm going to have to put everything I got into it to keep from, you know, catching the case. What is it really like when you really walk in there, and you know that you're going to get hazed, you're going to get messed with, they're going to do all these things to you, and I'm sure that there's an invisible line that they know and they have producers there to keep, you know, things calm for make sure things don't go out of hand. What was it like your first day when you walked on set?
Oh, wow. I didn't even know what to think. I was just so excited. Like, I couldn't believe this was, like, it was real. And just going in there, it was very intimidating, only because I was the new girl walking in. I mean, it's easy when you walk in and nobody knows each other and, you know, everybody's just standing there. But when you walk in there and everyone has already have, you know, they already have bonds made, it's a much harder to go in that way. Like, you have to be a strong person for all that or to even go in that situation because, I mean, those girls were, like, crazy. I've never been in that type of situation before in my life, the Bad Girls Club as a whole in general.
Wow. Do you think by going into that situation kind of prepare you in business?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, the fashion industry is very cutthroat, and the Bad Girls Club is cutthroat. So only the strong survive in the Bad Girls Clubhouse. Like, people, one thing to watch it on TV, but another thing to actually be there and live that for 2.5 months straight and 24 hours a day, it's totally different. I mean, the people only see so much. 13 episodes, 50 minutes each. I mean, hey, you're missing a lot.
Wow, so the camera's on 24 hours a day.
Yes.
Wow. So, I mean, I guess there's going to be a moment when they do go to sleep, then the probably team can get a break. But from the moment you guys wake up, the cameras just start shooting.
Yep. They come out and they start shooting.
So there's no script. They kind of say, okay, it's just mainly taping the lives of how you guys interact, and hopefully someone will spark some type of action or...
Exactly.
Or people just have the... Okay, so some people have their own agenda. They know, okay, this person is going to kick up some dust and they're going to just be the way they are.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to the point of, like, going really over the top that... I've seen the violence in the show. I know there's a limit that before they had, before producers had to actually come in because they don't want anybody to really get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
In those particular situations, do they really fear that, you know, one of these days the girls, one of the girls, going to snap on set and carry a little too far?
Oh yeah, of course. And when they do that, that's an immediate kick out of the Bad Girls Clubhouse. Like, they even tell you, you can fight all you want. I know they're going to come in and break it up, but no weapons, no knives, whatever, or you're immediately gone if you even reach for something. Like, there's no coming back.
Wow, so that's the fine line. No
yeah.
weapons, no nothing in this, and make sure you can control yourself, because if you do fight, it has to be hand-to-hand combat. It cannot be no swords and... sticks.
No glass, no weapons, nothing.
Nothing. Okay. Isn't it a fear that, I mean, if it get to that point, you know, besides you're going to get kicked out, do they ever have the fear that someone is going to sue them, or the person is going to just be mad enough, just go ahead and press charges against the other person for assault? Or is there a waiver that you guys
really
have to sign?
We have to sign the waiver. We pretty much sign our lives away. So all that extra stuff, they have it documented. You can't even do none of that.
What's the daily, you know, you guys are in the house for 60 days. What is it like every single day in living in those particular circumstances?
Say that again?
What is it like living for 60 days on set while these girls, I mean, you have to think of things as you go and just live, but... the hazing and the fighting and the life, I mean, that's a long time for 60 days to be with some people. I mean, I heard 2 weeks is one thing, 30 days is another. 60 days is like murder.
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, like I said before, only the strong survive in that house. I've never been in that type of situation to have to sleep with one eye open, because, like, I'm a real cautious person and I didn't want to let my guard down with anybody. So I know one night I even slept with sneakers on because I thought someone was going to come and try something and come in my room and start punching me in my sleep. That's the last thing I would want, is someone to catch me off guard, you know. So it was a battlefield. Nobody was safe. Nobody was your friend in that house, you know. You couldn't trust anybody. Everyone was for themselves.
So are there some alliances that's built? I mean, it's hard to be in a house for 60 days and not have a friend at all. Did you team up with someone? No, even though they're your fellow cast members, but usually there's some teaming still go on. Hey, I'm going to watch your back. Even that, you know, we're on set and we're doing the same thing. But it's hard to be in a place with that length of time without having a friend just to talk to, even for 5 or 10 minutes, to just get along with. Did you run in that in your particular case that, hey, you have a friend there, even though that you might be enemies, but at least you can sit down and have dinner, you know, 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Everybody was doing that. And people don't understand that on the show, that, you know, you live with these people for 3 months. Even though you guys fight, you still have to come home to these people at the end of the day. You don't have any of your friends there. You can't even really go on Twitter like that because they block a lot of the social networking sites. So you pretty much just have to, like, eventually get along. I mean, just for in the house sake, because when you leave there, no one talks to each other. No one calls each other. You know, everybody was using people.
Wow. So once it's over, it's over. Once you guys walk out of the house, you don't contact me, you know, friends or nothing.
Exactly.
So even being
adapt to that situation.
Wow. So when you go in and audition with a particular reality show, what advice do you have somebody who wants to be on a reality show, what they really need to be, what's real that they're going to have to really expect? Hey, this is their expectation of being on the reality show.
I would definitely suggest them coming in and just being a really standout personality. That's what gets these cast and director. You can't go in there and be like, blah, blah, blah. Like, you have to have something about you. I mean, you just have to stand out as a whole and make sure you tell them you're going to bring the drama. I mean, because people look at me all the time, oh, my God, I never picture you on Bad Girls Club. Yeah, I'm not really a bad girl, but, I mean, I went in there and acted like I was.
So you had to come up with your own personality and your own brand.
I just have to, like, you know, maximize my personality times 20. You know, even on camera, you have to be yourself times 20. You know, it's putting on for the camera, like I always say, because a lot of those people aren't like that in real life, I feel.
Wow. In closing, anything you would like to, any advice that you would like to give people or tell them about yourself as you go forward with your new fresh fashion line?
Just, you know, stay tuned. This isn't the last you're going to see of me. You know, I have a lot of things in store for you guys. So, you know, just get used to seeing me around. And you can check out my website, www.elisedonovan.com and www.elisedonovanswimwear.com. Follow me on Twitter, at elisedonovan. And, well, actually, when you go on my www.elisedonovan.com, you can get to my Ustream, my Facebook, all that, and just keep updated, you know, with me and what I have going on.
Great. Again, thank you for coming on the program, Lisa. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me so much.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. This has been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You guys, thank you for listening to the show, and you can download this show on iTunes on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Have a great day, and take care.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For more information about equipment financing and asset-based loans, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. Or call us at 866-611-7457. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. And thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.